We're going to begin the Warren County Radio Bible School with a Bible question. Now, see if you know this. You think you know your Bible, and I'm sure you do, but sometimes there's a lot of things in there to know, and here's one you may not recall immediately, and that is this. We know that Judas Iscariot was the apostle that betrayed Jesus. Do you know the name of Judas's father? What was the name of the father of Judas Iscariot? Now, I'll tell you where you find that answer. You're going to find it in the text we're going to read in just a moment. John chapter 13 and verse 2. In fact, I'm going to read John 13, 1 through 3, before we get to our regular Sunday school lesson on this text. It's a lesson about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. But in the meantime, make a mental note or write it on a card and see if you've got this right. What was the name of Judas's father? Now, I'll answer in just a moment. The Warren Ganny Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you the text, and you be listening and see if you can answer the question. What is the name of Judas's father? And here's what it says. John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came forth from God and goeth to God, riseth from supper, and layeth aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. Now I read John 13, 1 through 4. Did you catch the answer? It says that the devil, having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Well, Simon then was the name of Judas's father. Now, Simon is a common name in the New Testament, and most of the time when we think of Simon, we think of Simon Peter. But this is Simon, the father of Judas, a different man. And we're looking now at this Sunday school lesson, and there's a heading here. This is a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for March 7th, 1926. It's under the heading of the old contention of who is greatest. Jesus did this conscience of his divinity, and knowing that he could do all things, that his hour was come, and that he would soon go back to God. Jesus wished to leave with his disciples an example of humility against self-seeking. For the third time, it seems, from Luke 22:24 through 27, there arose a contention among them concerning which of them should be accounted to be the greatest. For the first time, Matthew 18:1 through 4, and Luke 9:46 through 48, and for the second time, we can read about that in Matthew 20:20 through 28. But this last contention probably arose while they were taking their seats at the table. This shows, too, that even yet they did not understand the nature of Christ's kingdom. Men seek the honor and the elegance of the world. There is much strife yet in one way and another over who shall be accounted the greatest in the kingdom of Christ. Men are ashamed to own it and to attribute it to some good motive. But divested of all Satan's disguise, it is a contention for places of honor and positions of greatness in the church. Jesus rebuked this by washing the disciples' feet, and taught that the true principle of greatness is service, menial service. For which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am in the midst of you as he that serveth. Luke chapter 22 and verse 27. This desire to be greatest in the church today is shown in wearing religious titles, seeking the chief seats and places of preferment. Some who think they're the greatest, they have to wear special robes to set them apart, and so they might look like they are great. But that's not how Jesus taught it would be in the kingdom of heaven. It makes no difference what the title is, whether it DD or REV, the pastor or the minister. It springs from the same root, master, rabbi, father, etc., as titles are forbidden by the Lord. And we need to seek and serve with humility. We read in Matthew chapter 23, 1 through 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things therefore whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with their finger, but all their works they do to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garment, and love the chief place in the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all of ye are brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for one is your father, even he is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. I wonder if there's any out here today who call themselves reverend, or Dr. So-and-so, or the most reverent Dr. So-and-so, or the Father So-and-so, and do all this as though they had some religious title, and like to display that title on their signs in front of their buildings, or maybe on a plaque over their office doors, or maybe they like to wear these long robes, or put a special collar on, turned around so that it looks like they're some kind of a Bible teacher. I wonder if they are disturbed by these things, if they are upset for these bringing these kind of things out at the Warren County Radio Bible School. Well, then the Lord rebuke thee. Jesus did not do this. And so we should not take upon ourselves special titles as Bible teachers to elevate us among men. We ought to see ourselves as servants of God and servants of men. And if there's menial task to do, then to do it. Now we're going to read about washing feet, but it is not a church ordinance. It is an act of humility or of hospitality. Let me read this to you in John 13, verses 4 and 5. That Jesus riseth from supper, and layeth aside his garments, and he took a towel, and girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Well, he rised from supper before they'd eaten. It was during the supper. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Washing the feet was an act of hospitality in the East. Owing to the dry and dusty climate the sandals people wore in their way of traveling, washing feet was considered, too, a very humble service, the duty of servants. When David sent to Carmel for Abigail to become his wife, she said, Behold, The handmaid is a servant, to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 41. Jesus and his disciples had walked from Bethany, and they were in that guest chamber as a family to themselves. None had offered to perform the hospitable act of washing feet. Instead, the disciples were envious and contending for places of honor. They all sat down to the table with dry, dusty feet. The Lord quietly arose, without any explanation, layeth aside his garments, that would be his outer robe, and he took a towel and girded himself like a servant. Then he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This was a service, a powerful rebuke to their ambitious strife as to who should be the greatest. It was a rebuke more solemn and impressive than language. This was an example of humility and service, which he earnestly exhorted them to follow. It demonstrated that the servant of all is the greatest of all. It is an answer to the question, who is the greatest? Let all who are ambitious to be considered the greatest in the church today look to this example and remember that he who performs the most humble, menial service for others is the greatest before God. This is not a church ordinance. It is never referred to in the New Testament or practiced by any church there as such. It is mentioned but once after this, where it is classed with the good works of a poor widow as an act of hospitality, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10. I'm going to back up on this reading just a little bit, to where it says they all sat down to the table with dry, dusty feet. The Lord quietly arose without any explanation, and layeth aside his garment, his outer robe, and took a towel and girded himself like a servant. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This was a severe and powerful rebuke to their ambitious strife as to who should be the greatest. It was a rebuke more solemn and impressive than language, and it was an example of humility and service which he earnestly exhorted them to follow. It demonstrated that the servant of all is the greatest of all, and it answers the question, who is the greatest? Let all who are ambitious be considered the greatest in the kingdom today. Look at this example and remember that he who performs the most humble menial service for others is greatest before God. Now, it is not a church ordinance. It's never referred to in the New Testament or practiced by any church there as such. It is mentioned but once after this, where it is classed with the good works of a poor widow in acts of humility, 1 Timothy 5:10. Now, the apostles were commanded to teach all Christians to observe whatever Jesus had commanded them, and they taught this as a home duty, an act of hospitality. The Lord's Supper they taught to be observed when the church came together on the first day of the week. We must not change God's order, but we must do what he has ordained humbly, without show and display, in the way and in the spirit that he has ordained it to be done. Now, Peter, he protested against this. It says in John chapter 13 and verse 6, "So he cometh to Simon Peter, he said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt understand hereafter. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, He that is bathed need not save to wash but his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Jesus began at one of the others, and when he came to Peter, he in wonder and astonishment that his Lord as a servant should wash his feet, said, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" We're going to have to pick this up in our next program.